thanks for having me back. For those of you that don't know, my name is DJ. I'm one of the pastors over at Sola Church. And one of our other pastors actually preached last week for you, Travis Southern. And again, I'm just thankful for the partnership in the gospel that our two churches have had. You guys launched us and planted us, and you continue to support us. So I'm so thankful for that. It's a wonderful reminder of that partnership in the gospel. I see one of your Ecuador missions people back, but that's another great reminder of so many that went for a gospel partnership around the world. And it just reminds us of how we can have those wonderful partnerships and spread the gospel to the nations. So I'm thankful that you can have a partnership here in our community and also abroad. It's a wonderful thing to see. Would you take your Bibles and go to Psalm 139? Psalm 139. We're going to be in verses 1 through 18 today. And when you get there, would you please, out of respect for the word of God, if you're able to do so, would you stand? And we are going to read Psalm 139, verses 1 through 18. Follow along as I read. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day. For darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated and let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. As we are reminded in this psalm that you are always with us, help us today to be encouraged by this message, that you are with us. Help us to see Christ in all of his glory. Father, as Keith prayed earlier, if there is one here today that doesn't know Christ, would you draw them to yourself? Make this the day of their salvation. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. When Dr. Henry Russell, a Princeton astronomer, had finished his lecture on the Milky Way, a woman walked up to him and she asked, if our world is so little and the universe is so great, can we believe that God pays attention to any of us? And his reply was this. He said, that depends entirely on how big of a God you believe in. As Christians, we believe in a big God. He's all wise. He's all knowing. He's all powerful. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows us from the inside out. He knows everything about us. This psalm is all about God knowing us and being with us. So as we explore this passage, I'm going to give you four truths I want you to know, but most of all, I want you to be encouraged in this morning. So here's the first one. Look at verses 1 through 6. Know that you are known by God. Know that you are known by God. Look at verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You are known by the one true and living God. The idea that God, the God of this universe, knows me, that he knows you, can be overwhelming in both a good way And it can be a little scary, right? When it says God searches us, that he knows us, a saying that God can examine your heart, he knows everything about you, that can be a little scary, especially when you know all about your own sin struggles. And now you know that God knows too. It's easy to dwell on all of the bad stuff that God may know about us, but that is not what David is doing here. He gives us truths about God's knowledge about us that's meant to encourage us and to build within us this gratefulness for God himself. These statements answer the question asked earlier. If our world is so little and the universe is so huge, can we believe that God pays attention to any of us? And the answer, according to our psalm here, is a resounding yes. David goes on and he gives kind of like these five, what a lot of commentaries will call the God knows statements in verses 2 through 4. The first one is there in verse 2, and it says, "You know when I sit down and when I rise up." Not only does God concern himself with our lives and actually pay attention to us, he knows even the most mundane of our activities. He knows the times when we generally don't want people seeing us. He knows what our hair looked like this morning when we rolled out of bed. He knows everything. He knows what it's like when we get up from our chair and when we plop down to relax. He knows all of it. Look at the second one. He says, "You discern my thoughts from afar." God knows our thoughts, even when we feel distance from God. Again, this is one that can feel scary. To have the one true and living God, to have the Holy One know your thoughts can be a little scary. But again, I don't think that's David's tone at all here in the psalm. If anything, David is declaring, God, even when I feel distance between us, you know all of the inner longings and the desires of my heart and my mind. What a comfort to know and to hear and understand the unspoken longings of my heart that I don't share with anyone else. God, you know them. Then he says in verse 3, "You search out my path and my lying down." What does this mean? Basically, it's really simple. He's saying God sees us even when we travel. That he's searching out our paths, and he even sees us and knows us when we arrive home and when we rest and when we lay down. Those first three God knows statements lead us to the next two about what God knows about us. Look at the end of verse 3. He says, "And you are acquainted with all my ways." Lord, you know more about just the mundane activities. You know all of them. You know all of my ways. Then he says in verse 4, "Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together." You know everything. Even before the words roll off my tongue, you know what they are. To be known by God alone would be nice. But to be known by God without his love and care would validate sometimes of our isolation from him. But yes, we are known by God, and his knowledge of us moves him to act and to care for those whom he knows. And that's what we see in verse 5. Look at this. He says, "You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." David says, "You hem me in." This word hem has this idea of to besiege a city. So David's saying, God is just like an army surrounding a city where nothing goes in and nothing goes out. You're surrounding me in your protection. That's what he's saying. Not only are you protecting me, you go with me, both before me and behind. And all the while, you're laying your divine hands of blessing on me. So after these five statements that he's saying that God knows us, and these kind of two subsequent statements about his loving care over us, look at David's response in verse 6. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." When we come to the knowledge of God's knowledge about us, this is the response. Oh man, this is too amazing. This is almost too much good stuff for me to handle. I mean, it floods my mind with so many great thoughts about God that I can barely understand them all. Have you ever felt like that? Where you've been just overwhelmed by kind of a case of the feels that you can't even put it into words? David's knowledge about God's knowledge of him gives him a spiritual case of the feels that he just can't even come close to putting into words. All because David realizes this truth, that he is known by God. So that's the first truth I want you to be encouraged in this morning, is know that you are known by God. Secondly, we find this in verses 7 through 12. Know that you are near to God. Know that you are near to God. He says in verse 7, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence?" So David asks a question that flows out of the truth that you are known by God, and that is, to be known by God is to be in his presence. How does someone get to know you well? By proximity. Those who are closest to you know you better than anyone else. Many of you guys know Carl Frank. I'm going to point him out because he has to deal with me for 8 hours a day. Like, we work together during the day. He knows me probably better than anyone in this room because we're together all the time, okay? And your spouse probably knows you better than anyone else in this room, okay? That's the principle. So David, understanding this amazing knowledge that God has of him, realizes that there's nowhere he can go. There's nowhere that he can run to where God won't be there with him. He asked, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where can I run from your presence?" And David answers this so beautifully with five kind of hypothetical statements. And I'll just run through them. I'm not going to give you some exegetical exposition of them. I just want to read them and you can hear what his answers are. He says, "If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol," or the grave, "you are there. If I take the wings of the morning, and if I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, 'Surely the darkness cover me, and the light about me be night,' even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you." That's incredible. Just ponder what we just read. No matter where you are, no matter where you find yourself, no matter where other people find you or may put you, you simply can't get outside of God's economy. You can't do it. Even when we attempt to run from God's presence and it feels like the darkness that you may be experiencing is going to envelop you, and even though everyone else is experiencing light and you feel like you're experiencing darkness, David cries out and declares in his darkness, "Oh God, my darkness is not dark to you. You're powerful enough to overcome my darkness because you're here with me. This darkness that I'm experiencing is as bright as day to you." What a blessing it is to have a God that is with us, that's willing to break into the darkness of our lives with his light. Psalm 139 teaches that you can't get outside of God's presence. You just can't do it. You can't run. You can't hide. There's no place to go. That's what the psalmist means. He says, if you run to the furthest limits of the sea, guess what? God's there. If you even make your bed in the grave, or Sheol is the word he uses, if you go to the grave, guess what? God's there with you. It's like this big circle he's trying to paint, that we get to run, we get all this freedom of movement, yet God's intention is so much bigger than all of that. The psalm teaches that we just can't get outside of the presence of God. And what this psalm does, I think, that's so amazing to me, is that it kind of gives value to every space. It gives value to every place that you are in, our occupations, our hobbies, everything. Not that every space is pleasant. Let's be honest, some of it is just downright ugly, horrible, and even evil. And yet, this psalm reminds us that it's still not outside of God. And when we're in the presence of God, as God told Moses, you're standing on holy ground. And there's something potentially sacred when we're walking on holy ground. Even in the despicable places, even in the places of shame, even in the places of guilt, even in the places that we find ourselves in desperation. Now, I know this sounds absurd, but you can't, can you just imagine for a moment just David as he's writing this psalm? Maybe he's sitting on the beach of the Dead Sea or something to that, looking out over the horizons of the sea and catching a glimpse, just a glimpse of this kind of larger possibility of what God is doing. And it's just a wonderful moment, and it changes everything for him as he writes this psalm. The truth of this larger scope, this truth of God's grand story that doesn't diminish what you're feeling right now. It actually gives value to being in the darkness or in the graves of your lives or the furthest limits of the sea, but at least it reminds us that your place, your feeling, has to be put into the context of something much bigger, something much greater that God is doing. And while your moments of spiritual and even maybe physical struggles may be difficult to bear, know that it is put into a much larger context, that God is near to you through it all. So be encouraged this morning. Know that you are known by God and know that you are near to God. The third truth that I want you to see is found in verses 13 through 16. Know that you are wonderfully made and loved by God. Know that you are wonderfully made and loved by God. Look at verse 13. It says, For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. These verses bring with it a huge range of emotions. Depending on the journey of your life and where you are right now, these emotions may vary. These verses speak of the uniqueness and the wonderful way that God creates all of human life. This proclaims clearly when God knows us that before our hearts even begin to beat, God knows us and he's active in forming us in our mother's womb. Other than the obvious implications and applications on the importance of babies' lives in the wombs, which I won't get into. I know you guys believe it the way we do at Solo. You guys sent us out. I won't get into all of that. But I want to give some other applications that we can pull from this, okay? This portion of the psalm has really countless other areas of application. I think it also gives moms and dads a lot of comfort after a miscarriage, after a stillbirth, after the death of a child. It gives us hope when we're trying to raise that difficult child. And I think it gives some power, it gives some comfort to those struggling with their own body image, realizing you are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's often that feeling of heartache about a daughter or son, or let's be real, sometimes ourselves, that just hasn't lived up to expectations. And they feel like they failed somehow. But to read that God formed your inward parts and that God's spirit has been involved with you, that God saw you, that God knew you before you were even in the womb, verse 16, puts a different spin on things, doesn't it? To God, no thing, and especially no person, is wasted. Every single life matters to God. I mean this, that this is the expansive vision of the psalmist here. So I want you to be encouraged this morning. Know that you are known by God. Know that you are near to God. And know that you are wonderfully made and loved by him. The last truth I want you to see is in verses 17 and 18. Know that God's thoughts toward you are precious. God's creation of you is an amazing thing. And David makes this statement. He says, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you." It would be enough if we just knew that God made us and that God loves us on just like a large macro level. That would be enough. But on this lower level, God's simple thoughts about you are precious and they're innumerable. God's thoughts about you can't be counted. And even if you tried to count them, you'd fall asleep doing it. And guess what? When you'd wake up, he's still there, That's what David is saying. Child of God, be encouraged this morning. Know that you're known by God, that you're near to him, that you are wonderfully made, that you're loved by God, and know that his thoughts towards you are precious. But I have to pause for a moment. As a preacher of the gospel, I cannot assume the gospel in your life. We're talking about all of these things that you are known by God. These are all true for those whom God knows. But how does God come to know someone? He comes to know us through Jesus, through the gospel. And sadly, many who thought they know God through Jesus will stand before God one day and they will be surprised to find out that they did not know him at all. Hear the words of Jesus, specifically in the Sermon on the Mount. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, he says this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" So just to claim that you are a Christian or say that you believe in Jesus is not enough. James chapter 2 and verse 19 says that the demons believe and they tremble. To have a mere mental or intellectual assent to facts, it's not enough. You don't know God just because you know some facts. Do you have a real relationship with God through God the Son's work on the cross? That's the question. Have you come to God in your brokenness? Have you seen that your sin requires God's wrath against your sin? Have you seen that your sin requires the payment of the shedding of your blood? And have you placed your faith in the perfect one who knew no sin, who took your place, who shed his blood for you? You say, "I believe this, but how do I know that it's just not some intellectual faith?" Part of salvation is both repentance and faith. We come to God in faith, and repentance is really the response of someone who's been brought from spiritual death to spiritual life. Repentance isn't something you must do for salvation, but the natural response of someone who's been given a new heart by God. You come to God in faith and he gives you a new heart. It's kind of an uneven exchange, but it's a wonderful thing. This results in spiritual fruit that's seen in your life as the Spirit conforms you into the image of Jesus. Your life will become more and more characterized by love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And it results in a true relationship and knowledge of God. So if you don't know God through Christ personally, I want to call you to embrace Jesus as Lord and Savior this morning. But if you do know Jesus today, and you are following him with your life, again, I want to encourage you today that you are known by God, that you are near to God, that you are wonderfully made and loved by him, and that even his thoughts about you are precious. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us in the work of Jesus Christ. That through him, as Keith said earlier, that we are made holy. We as unholy people now are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. Thank you. As we just ponder this passage, as we ponder the amazing truths that the psalmist has written, that you know us in so many different ways, may we be encouraged. Help Christians who feel like they're in the darkness today to see Jesus in his glory and realize that that all the darkness is but light to him. Encourage us today. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.